Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for joining us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 9:04 on the clock on this December 23rd. Got your host, James J. Maylock, behind the mic. I am joined by Seth Habhacker.
Good morning, everyone.
We hope you're having a great one out there, everybody. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for joining us. Then a write stories, good stories of the day coming up for you in a little bit. We're also going to get into the rudest sports fan behaviors. We're going to touch on that a little.
Oh, we're going to Philly.
Yeah, we're going to, yeah, basically. Yes, we're going to Philadelphia. Actually, I want to start off, though, with some entertainment news.
Okay.
Also want to remind the audience, though, we will be getting into our 30 Hours of Christmas. We'll go over that a little bit later as well.
Yeah.
Interesting development happening over the last 24 hours, Seth.
Okay.
I don't know if you had a chance to hear about this. I have not even had a chance to look too deeply into the subject because it's a vast subject that, you know, just broke in the last 24 hours.
Okay.
Marvel Studios, along with other studios, can now be sued for misleading trailers. This is interesting to me.
This is interesting, yes.
Along with all of the other Hollywood movie studios, they can all now be sued for misleading or deceptive trailers, according to a new federal ruling Wednesday. In the modern age, movie trailers are not only being used as advertising tools, but also as products that garner hype and excitement in their own right. There is so oftentimes you're seeing a trailer for a movie, but you're not just seeing the trailer for the movie. That's not just what you're trying. There's a can of Mountain Dew in it. Or there's a nice, beautiful, you know, Trans Am and or a Lincoln or a car or something.
Some kind of car, yeah.
You know, so with all of these things and with it kind of with more being on the line than ever, it's on one side, you have producers and directors and everybody like, okay, this trailer, I got a minute to catch you. I've got to get you in that minute. So sometimes they will film scenes just for a trailer.
Yep.
How many times have we seen a movie? I'm like, wait a minute, that wasn't in the movie.
Yeah, you know, after we see it. Yeah, exactly.
I'll actually go back and watch a trailer. Like, was I wrong? No, it wasn't in the movie. Like that kind of thing.
Yep.
Well, people are actually upset about this. I don't know how many.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. I've never had anybody in my life ever mention this. I've seen it in articles. I've seen people talk about it on, you know, in interviews and stuff. I have never heard an actual fan say that they were that disappointed. I've heard people say that they may be a little like, well, I thought that'd be in there, but
yeah, right, yeah,
but not to the point where you're going to hire an attorney and sue a movie company.
Wow.
Over it.
That seems severe to me.
Now, it does. A little severe. And I don't think any of us we lived through the whole Sue Happy days.
I
don't think anybody's a fan of any of that.
No.
I do, though, on the other side of this, do like some accountability. I do think that that is fair. I think that there should be some of that.
Sure.
I know I would say, well, this is kind of like, you know, this is kind of the game. A lot of people get upset. Oh, this person, they said that Bill Murray was going to be in the movie. Oh, great. Bill Murray's going to be in this. And Bill Murray's in it for like 2 seconds. And they had him, like they were pitching it like he's a co-star of the movie when he's only in like about 2 minutes of the movie.
Right.
There were people, and I don't think a lot of people remember this now because they kind of romanticized this time.
Yep.
But when The Dark Knight came out, there were people very angry that Heath Ledger was not in it more. That was their big complaint about The Dark Knight. Of course, he passed and other things happened, and now there's other storylines that come attached to it. But at the time, he's in that movie like 16, 17 minutes. It's a 2-hour movie.
Yep.
Like, oh, well, he was supposed to be in this whole lot and all that. Now, obviously, he was impactful in and all that, but a lot of people had an issue with that. I don't know if that's where some of this is stemming from, but it does seem like just from reading parts of the article and reading another complete article on it, it seems to be some of the issue with it.
Yeah. The first thing that popped into my head is, man, that is going to be very hard to prove in court. Because go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say because unless they, like you said, filmed specific scenes just for the trailer that they left out of the movie, how are you going to prove this? Because they can always come back and say, well, you know, we were implying something, but that doesn't mean, you know, that because they could use the same, you know, footage and edit it in a different way and make, you know, you think one thing's going to happen or something else, but proving that they were deliberately doing that, It's really hard to do. How can you deliberately prove that they were like, no, they did this on purpose. This was their deal.
Plus, it happens all the time. I'm the director. I'm going to have these scenes in there, so I'll put them in the trailer. Mm-hmm. And then the producers come in and decide, no, that scene's not in there. I don't like that scene. It's out. And,
right.
So who are you going to sue in that?
Yep.
Are you suing the producer? Are you suing the director? Are you suing the movie company?
A lot of directors have nothing to do with the trailers.
Exactly.
Someone else puts the trailers together. They don't do it. So, I mean,
According to Variety, movie studios can legally be sued if they present misleading information about appearances of actors in a film trailer as of this Wednesday ruling, according to U.S. District Judge Stephen Wilson. The ruling came in the midst of a lawsuit against Universal regarding the trailer for the 2019 movie Yesterday, which featured actress Ana de Armas, despite the actress not being included in the final cut of the movie. Judge Wilson rejected Universal's argument that movie trailers are artistic expressive work and that should be considered non-commercial. cementing
terrible
the fact,
argument.
Yeah, really bad. Cemented the fact that trailers are a commercial speech since at their core, they're designed to sell a movie.
They're commercial.
Yeah.
They're commercial. That's what trailers are.
And in that scenario, that's lazy. That's like that's just lazy. That's not and that is misleading.
Yes,
if you're the biggest Ana de Armas fan in the world, you're going to be very misled
exactly.
by that trailer.
So now that would make sense. Yeah. That would make sense on a case like that, especially when I understand why Universal lost, because apparently that was the only legal argument they had.
Yeah, that's
otherwise
bad.
It's that was it, because that was ridiculous.
That's never a good moment in court when the judge is asking you, so what else you got? Like, I rest my case.
That's your argument?
Oh,
yeah.
You sure you want to rest your case? Like when the judge asks you, that's bad. That's bad. One thing I would not want to see is this snowball into I spent, and look, I'll be the first person to tell you, these movies are way overpriced.
Oh, yeah.
You got to take out a mortgage nowadays to go see a movie. It's insane.
Yeah.
But that being said, it's not a guarantee. That movie ticket doesn't guarantee that you're going to have a good time, that you're going to enjoy the movie. I would hate to think that I spent $20 on this movie and I didn't enjoy it. I'm suing you. Like, no, you can't sue over that. You can't sue over not enjoy. Like, I'm sorry, but no.
Especially since it's purely objective. The studio could bring in 100 people that loved the movie.
Yeah,
and it'd be like, see, it's a good movie. We all these people that loved it. So yeah, that would I don't think that would work. I don't think you could do that.
No.
But you never know.
I don't think you could do that. And I don't think these next movies we're going to talk about, you could play on network TV.
Okay.
A language tutorial site called Preply examined 60 scripts of popular holiday movies to find out which have the most cuss words. I want that job.
That sounds like an interesting job, right?
I think it had gotten old real quick. Yeah. So let's look at this list, and we'll just kind of burn through some of these.
Okay.
Here. Because I think there's some surprising ones. Home Alone from 1990 has 9 swear words.
It has 9? Okay. That makes sense.
I don't remember one of them.
Me neither.
When they show the video clip, maybe, of the gangster on the TV.
Yeah, maybe that was part of it. I don't know. Although Joe Pesci's in it.
Joe Pesci. That's true. That is a good point. A Christmas Story from 1983. 11 swear words in that one.
Well, then part of that is because of the... There's actually a bit about that, which is classic. I mean, that's really funny.
The bar of soap.
So that... Yeah, exactly.
Number 18, Serendipity. Not sure if that's really... Okay.
It's considered a Christmas movie.
I suppose. Yeah. 13 swear words in that one.
Okay.
Sneaky good one, Surviving Christmas from 2004. I believe that's James Gandolfini's in that one. That's a good...
I'm trying to remember who's in that one, yeah.
I think that's...
Yeah, anyway.
Is that him and Julia Louis-Dreyfus? I think that's that one.
Okay.
If I got it right, it was like one of his last movies. Yep.
Oh, okay, yep.
Ben Affleck, James Gandolfini, Christina Applegate, Catherine O'Hara. It's not bad.
Catherine O'Hara. Nice.
Yeah. I thought that one was pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty funny one. And that had 14 swear words. I actually thought it would have had more. Come on. Shazam? Shazam is not a Christmas movie. What are we doing? Oh, man. 14 swear words in that one. Batman Returns got 14 swear words.
There is Christmas in Batman Returns.
Yeah.
But it's not a Christmas movie.
I do. And I love that movie.
Yeah, I know. It's a good movie.
It's not a Christmas movie.
No.
Scrooged. Now that is.
Mm-hmm.
From 1988, 17 swear words in that one.
Okay. Yeah.
I have to say that as far as like sneaky kind of, or I should say like, you know, you got your traditional Christmas movies and TV specials, you know, the Charlie Brown Christmas special, things like that.
Yeah.
As far as like ones that I just personally like always love going back to, I have mentioned a million times Nightmare Before Christmas. Mm-hmm. Scrooged is another one.
Yeah,
it's just one of those ones to me.
Classic, yep.
I really like that movie. It's not just Bill Murray's great in it. There's a lot of great actors in it. It's Carol Kane, man. I'm coming to get it. She just flies and then smashes him. Just hits him with it. Gets me every single time.
One of the great comedic actresses ever.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation from 1989. 23 swear words in that one.
Which for National Lampoon is actually restraint.
That's Love Actually from 2003, 36 swear words in that one. Wow.
Didn't know big that. Jump there. Holy mackerel.
Okay, so Love Actually, romantic comedy,
yep.
You know, Christmas movie, all that, has almost as many, has one less swear word than Krampus from 2015, the Christmas horror movie. That's interesting. That's kind of funny to just stand back and look at that like that. That's interesting. I'm a hypocrite.
I'm a hypocrite.
I'm making fun of all these movies and not Christmas movies and all that, but then I see this next one, Trading Places from 1983. 37 swear words in that one. No, that is not a Christmas movie, but I do get where they're going with it.
Yes.
There isn't a big moment with Christmas does play a big part in
everything. Yes, it does. It does.
That's one of those ones I keep cringing that they're going to remake one day, and I really hope they don't. It was fine the way it is. I don't know if you could remake it nowadays.
I think there's a little
too much PC-ism and stuff. But
yeah, I think it's very much of its time. Yeah.
I be the first person to admit, I don't think certain parts of it hold up.
Yeah.
Especially when you've got Dan Aykroyd acting Jamaican and all that.
You know, that was really
cringy. You know? I forgot about that until just now. But at the same time, I think it's an actually like really cool like 80s story, like of showing what, you know, what can happen. You give a person an opportunity and those kind of things.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just funny. It's just a funny movie.
Yep.
Black Christmas from 1974 has 39 swear words. I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, that you know what?
Is that the one you brought up the other day?
That's the one. I said the wrong title. But Black Christmas is the one I was thinking. It was directed by Bob Clark. The same guy who directed A Christmas Story and Porky's, by the way.
Wow, what a weird...
That guy, he directed some strange movies.
Very.
But that is the one. That was the one that was very controversial. But again, it's more of a horror movie. So, yeah. I'm not surprised there's more cussing in it.
Yeah. Let's see. Die Hard from 1988, of course.
Is this a thing now?
Yeah.
Die Hard is a Christmas thing?
It's not going anywhere, that's for
sure.
No.
All right.
Let's see here. From 1988, that had 77 swear words in it.
Oh, what?
That's
yippee-ki-yay. Yeah.
Let's see. At number two, The Ref from 1994, the Dennis Leary movie, I believe. That one did take place, like, I believe he kidnaps a family or holds a family hostage.
Yeah, that's what it is.
On Christmas.
Yeah.
It was like his first big movie, like where he led a movie. I remember it had a decent cast. J.K. Simmons, Judy Dave. Oh, gosh, Kevin Spacey's in it, too. Ted Demme did direct it. Great director.
Yes, yes.
Great director. Yeah, that was all right, though. I remember the movie. 86 swear words in that one.
Well, it's got Dennis Leary.
I mean,
confusion.
And number one on the list, no surprise here, Bad Santa from 2003, the Billy Bob Thornton movie. 255 swear words.
Apparently,
in that one.
It's nothing but swearing.
Pretty much. There's not really a plot. It's just Billy Bob Thornton being Billy Bob Thornton for like 2 hours.
In a Santa costume, right? That's basically it.
That's interesting. So. Violent Night, the most recent kind of one of these types of movies, it's in theaters right now.
Yep.
I don't see that on the list. I don't know if because it's too new or...
They haven't counted all the swear words in it yet.
It looks like they focused a lot more on the blood and action.
Maybe
not a lot of swearing in it, maybe. Because you have to pick and choose sometimes when you're trying to walk that line of a PG-13 or an R rating.
Exactly.
And not going too far to go even deeper than an R rating or something.
Yeah.
So okay, do we want to go violence? Do we want to go swearing? Do we want to go nudity? Mm-hmm. You know, what are you going to
yeah,
do?
Yeah, right, right, right.
Picking and choosing on those. Mm-hmm. Do you have any, you know, any that you can think of that aren't on this list? I can't.
Not
I
really. Can't think of any, I guess that's not something I yeah, think about right, when I'm watching right, holiday right. movies, yeah, right? Yeah. So
I don't think there are any in like Elf, or I was trying to think if there are any like sneaky ones, like, you know, just like Damn or something like that, and one that we didn't, you know, don't remember. And I can't think of any.
I don't think so. Elf is pretty clean. I mean, there's nothing really in that one, if I remember correctly. So, yeah.
Well, that'll do it for that this segment. We're going to move on. We'll come back and we'll get into the rudest sports fan behaviors. We're going to touch on that when we come back here
Hooligans.
On the Morning Show on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the Morning Show here on WFHR. Kind of a Christmas Eve edition sort of show.
Sort of, yeah.
We've been focusing a lot on those kind of things and having some fun with it. We've talked a lot of Christmas stuff. This next subject, the 10 rudest sports fan behaviors. What does that have to do with Christmas? Well, this time of year, we're supposed to be treating each other better. We're supposed to be being nicer.
Yeah.
We all understand that. Even sports fans get that. Well, except for in Philadelphia, of course, where they threw batteries at Santa.
Man. Santa.
If you're a Philly fan, like especially if you're a young Philly fan, do you get embarrassed by that, or do you lean into it? Do you feel, or is it becoming a caricature now?
I think it's becoming more of that. I think you're right. Yeah,
I think so. It's frustrating to spend an arm and a leg to buy tickets to a sporting event and be surrounded by unruly fans who make it difficult to enjoy the game. Mm-hmm. There was recently, it went viral on all over social media, where there was a Patriots fan and a Raiders fan at the recent game this weekend. And, and most sports fans know how that game ended with the weirdest darn play where it's supposed to go to overtime and the Patriots lost the game because of a bad play.
A bad play.
Well, this Raider fan, this lady's losing her mind. She's this guy is standing there acting very calm in a Patriots jersey, and she's just giving him the business. And I mean, way above the line, way too far, where even her, I don't know if it's her husband or whoever, is like, come on, you know, hey, let it go. And she won't let it go. She won't stop. And then this play happens, and she just loses it even more. And this guy, got to give him a lot of credit, this Patriot fan, just, you know, nods, just takes it the whole time. Now, this lady was, you know, roasted over social media, of course, and everything. Well, Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots, reached out to this gentleman, and he is going to be at this weekend's Patriots game in, like, beautiful seats. He's going to get to go on the field before the game and meet players and stuff and everything.
Holy cow.
So be careful with your rude behavior because you just helped out a Patriots fan, Raider fan. You just gave him one of the greatest days of his life is coming up this Sunday.
Hey, it's nice to see someone rewarded for turning the other cheek, you know, for being patient and just not rising to the bait. You know?
Yeah.
That's cool to see.
I think this may be the only time you'll ever hear me say this. Credit to Robert Kraft. I give him credit for doing that.
That's the only thing. Make sure you're very specific.
Very specifically talking about just this right
just
here.
Just this thing.
Only this. And let's be honest, it probably wasn't Robert Kraft. It was one of his, you know,
his lackeys.
Something like that. Well, a new survey asked people for the rudest fan behaviors, and the top response is standing and blocking your view. 57% of people said that. Wow.
Yeah, it's true.
The rest of the top five, getting drunk, like, period. Like, that'll do it every time.
I got a story for this one. As I've mentioned on these airwaves before, because I like mentioning it, I went to the 2002 All-Star Game, which was at Miller Park, when it was still Miller Park. And it was a great experience. I had tons of fun. Of course, it was one of those weird, it was the one that ended in a tie. It was all kinds of craziness. Well, I was right next to a drunk dude. And he was loud, and he was obnoxious. And I mean, after they declared the game a tie, I mean, he just went off and started screaming and cussing. And I mean, do you have any idea how uncomfortable that makes the people around you when you're doing that?
Yeah.
Everyone around him were like, dude, just stop. He got taken away. I mean, they came and got him and took him away because he was being disruptive. And so, yes. Because you're at a game, you don't get a right to get drunk, people, okay? I know a lot of people think that that's, oh, I'm at the game, now I can drink as much as I want. Yeah. You are with thousands of other people. Consider that, please.
That you pay a lot of money for these tickets.
And you pay tons of money for this
and
stuff.
And you have a right to enjoy yourself. You have a right to get the experience that you are paying for out of it. You don't have a birthright to, you know, act in a fool. You don't.
The other person has the same right as you do.
Yeah,
because they're paid the same amount of money.
It's you know, another one of these things in society where we've got to, who's watching. You know, do you, and like some of these people don't care, and I get that. So I'm not talking to them necessarily. but the people that actually are on the fringe here are people that do actually care. Mm-hmm. I hate to keep coming back to this, but kids are looking. Kids are watching.
They are
learning. Yeah. Every little kid around that person, that drunk guy that was watching, was mm-hmm. either learning, hey, that's how I don't want to act when I get that age, mm-hmm. or, hey, that seems funny. Maybe I'll act like that when I get older.
Especially if there's no consequences.
Yeah.
If they don't see anything bad happen to that person.
It's no different than what I say with these political signs we see with the swear words on them and everything. Yeah. I'm Italian. I grew up with swear words. I'm not saying that I'm against this or I'm some, you know, saint or anything that. But I don't swear in front of kids. I don't do it in front of kids. I don't have signs in my front yard saying this swear word right in front of a school or around schools or anything like this. And to those people who obviously don't care.
They don't.
But I would love to be able to, like, I'd love to interview one of them. I'd love to have them on the air. Like, tell me, what is your point? What is your point? What are you trying to pull off here? What you're trying to make sure that every person knows that you don't like the president?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, what does that change? What does that do? Big deal. So this is all about you and your ego.
Well,
this has nothing to do with politics.
I bet you if you dug deep enough, the answer would be because it makes me feel good.
Yeah, don't tell me that this makes you. This is a political stance or
it's
some
not.
Some you know hill you're going to stand on here or anything like that. Get out of here with that.
Yeah.
You really don't like the president? Well, go ahead and do some actual work and maybe run for office.
Yeah, maybe you should do something
or get off your tail and do something.
Yeah.
As far as like maybe you know researching more of who the people you're voting into office and these things.
There you go.
You know, actually do something realistic with your time instead of putting up a silly sign the kids are going to see and start all of a sudden they're bringing those words home and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Getting drunk, cutting in line, heckling, blocking the aisle, not attending to their children, using profanity, squatting in seats that aren't theirs.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Repeatedly leaving their seats and talking on the phone. I know that I have, so I had a friend who, Will. I've mentioned Will many. Mm-hmm. Will is a big Oakland A's fan.
Right.
Goes to a lot of their games. I think he's the only one that still does. Sorry, I got to tease him.
Poor A's.
They always put on a good team.
They do. Anyway.
But he can't stand people sitting there on their phone the whole game.
Yeah.
Like he drives him crazy, and he's a young guy. Like he's not an old guy or anything, but it drives him nuts. He's like, "Why are you here? Why did you?"
That's my
here?
Point exactly. What you can do this at watch it on TV at home, and you can be on your phone the whole time, or not even watch it at all and be on Why do it at the game? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, is there some legal requirement? I mean, did you get in trouble? Did you lose a bet? I don't know.
As far as I know, there's not a whole lot of like augmented reality stuff that MLB is doing right now at the parks. Okay, it's just you yapping with your friends.
That's interesting you bring that up because NBA has been way ahead of that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Football is really getting involved in it. Mm-hmm. Hockey has been getting involved. I wonder if baseball is going to do that or not.
Especially probably eventually, but
they're going to have to eventually. But yeah. I know they're so like every year of our lives, Seth, let alone now, they've been worrying about attendance. So I wonder if that's part of the reason why they've been holding back on that. And just a fear that it might hurt their attendance even more. I don't know.
Which baseball owners have done since the very beginning. They didn't want to broadcast their games on the radio.
Yeah.
Why would we give our product away for free? Well, maybe it's because then more people would hear it, understand the game, and then come to a game, which is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's good. That was a nice breakdown.
It's been happening for a long time.
Of course, sporting events can have a great communal vibe, but a few boneheads can ruin it for the whole section. And some people would argue that certain fan bases have more boneheads than others.
Uh-oh.
Not to name names. But
although we already have,
fun of Philly. If I'm a Philly fan and I'm not like that, I get it. I feel bad. I don't mean to clump all Philly fans into one group or anything, but it is kind of like, I mean, that is really par for the course with them.
The fascinating thing for me is they're just south of New York City, which is supposed to be the rude capital of the world.
That's
true. And even, you know, New York sports fans aren't really that bad.
No.
They're not. I mean, they're very passionate about their teams. But man,
yeah, they're not traditionally that bad because their teams traditionally aren't that good.
Yeah.
So. Ooh, did I? It's probably, ooh, I said that out loud.
Well, except for the Yankees.
Yeah,
except for the Yankees. Yeah. You got to give the Yankees a thing. But
it's been a while, though. Been a while.
Yeah.
Like 10 years. Like, yeah. It hasn't been that long.
For them, that's an eternity for Yankee fans.
Boy. We'll talk more about this and baseball in Playmakers in about a half an hour or so. Everybody looking forward to that. Right now, I'm going to get to Melissa's news. We'll have some more fun and come back with some Betty Wright stories, good stories of the day. It's the morning show here on WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Mornings on WFHR. Hope you're having a good one out there. Mm-hmm. In the Christmas spirit around here.
Mm-hmm.
Getting you ready for your Christmas weekend.
Jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year.
You know, we were talking about genealogy, you know, earlier in the show today. Mm-hmm. So I had to put a song in there from my distant relative, Burl Ives.
That's right.
Found out that I was distantly related to him recently, which is kind of cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
That is very cool. And extremely cool considering your job and everything.
That's true,
Music, work, and sound. That's very cool. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Actually, did you tell me that before? Now it's.
I might have said something before. Yeah. I don't remember, but yeah.
Got a doozy of a That Ain't Right story here for you. Now, throughout the year, we collect these, and some of them we've done with you before, and we kind of keep them, okay, we got to go over those at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. We got to bring that one back with the greatest hits of our That Ain't Right.
Oh, of course.
And some of them just kind of slip through the cracks, and we'll get to that late in these last 2 weeks of the year when we got kind of a dead news time and everything.
Yep.
And that's where this one comes to us. And this came out back October 19th in 2022.
Uh-oh.
A 19-year-old man in Pennsylvania named Cole Williams was busted that month after he was caught with a six-month-old kangaroo, which he was trying to sell on Facebook Marketplace.
Jeez. Oh, man.
Again, an illegal six-month-old kangaroo that he went to Facebook Marketplace with. Genius. Genius. Criminal mastermind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Someone ratted him out, and when officials paid Cole a visit, they found the kangaroo hidden in his bedroom closet.
What? Oh, poor kangaroo?
Because he's 19 years old going on 5.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? Everybody knows the perfect place to hide a kangaroo is the basement. Like, what are you doing? I mean, come on, a closet?
Let's get those boxing gloves off.
Yes. Thankfully, the kangaroo was seized and taken to a facility where it will be cared for. And just doing a follow-up on this story, and I didn't do a deep dive, but just looking at it, the kangaroo is actually at a zoo now.
Thank goodness.
And doing well. It's very happy and all that. But Cole is not at a zoo. Cole will not be able to go to the zoo for a very long time.
He's at another place with bars.
Yes.
Yes.
Cole pleaded guilty to several charges. It sounds like he will actually just be getting some fines for
this. Oh, okay. He won't be able to go to jail. All right.
Actually, though, I'm alone on this one, I bet, but I don't care. I think you should at least get 6 months or something.
Yeah.
Otherwise, how are we going to stop people from doing this? Like, there's a difference between, we raise the bail bonds, and, that's going to stop criminals from doing stuff. Like, no, that ain't. Trust me on that one.
Yeah.
But there is a difference of person, doing these kind of actions.
Yeah.
Whether we're talking about any kind of illegal activity that is outside of, certain, the darker crimes.
The more violent. Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're talking about these kind of crimes. People think, okay, even if I get caught, I'm just going to pay a fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not hurting anybody. But you are. You're hurting the animal.
Right,
exactly.
The
animal doesn't deserve to go through this. And
right.
I'm not a PETA person or anything, but I do,
Well, there's laws on the books. There's cruelty to animal laws that I'm sure they used when they prosecuted him.
Yeah,
I don't want to give him anything.
Right.
When they prosecuted him for that. So, and maybe the first offense aren't that, that heavy. The fines or the punishments aren't that heavy.
Yeah.
But your point is well taken. That it's something that maybe just doing this one, like giving him 90 days or something like that would whoa, this isn't cool. Maybe it's something that will keep him from doing stupid stuff like that again.
We realized this way too late in the game, but we're starting to finally get better about some of our laws as far as rape, as far as sexual abuse, abusing a child.
Yep.
We're finally. There was a point in our time where rape, you could get like 6 months in jail.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Some ridiculous,
like, if you got that even. Mm-hmm. Like, so we're getting a little bit better about those things. We got a lot of work yet to do on that mm-hmm. stuff. These kind of things also need to catch up. These kind of laws. They also need to catch up with the rest of society and be on the right side of history on this stuff.
Well, you have to take it by a case-by-case basis. You really do. And I understand why they have guidelines and everything because of the sheer amount to get things working through the justice system. You have to speed it up in certain ways. And that's one way. But
look, I'm maybe the biggest penguin fan any of you will ever know. I love penguins. I think having a pet penguin would be one of the coolest things in the world. And let's say I even had the money. I had the money to have in my backyard a little igloo and all this. And I could take care of this penguin and give this penguin the greatest life it's ever had. No.
It's
a wild animal. It doesn't belong. Like in zoos and stuff like that. I get that. Because zoos are designed to take care of these animals. Mm-hmm. But I don't care if I'm a billionaire, if I got Bill Gates money or something like that. I shouldn't own a pet penguin.
No.
There's no excuse. Just because I have the money and can do it doesn't mean that just because you got the money doesn't mean you should do it. It's ridiculous. There's no reason in the world why you should be able to have a pet kangaroo or lion or any of these things.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm waiting to hear the argument.
Yeah.
Other than because I can. That's not an argument.
That's terrible. Take that. We bought a zoo, people.
That'll show Matt Damon. Matt Damon got some other things to be worried
about. Yeah, he sure does.
That crypto thing ain't going away. talking about accountability, that's one where I'm losing a lot of fans, a lot of friends in the acting business for how my stance on this one, but I believe there should be some accountability on that stuff. There are a lot of people.
It was a scam.
It was a scam that Larry David, a person I love and respect, mm-hmm. Matt Damon, mm-hmm. Respect.
Who didn't do it? I mean, Tom Brady? I mean, who didn't get in on that, right?
There's going to be some accountability on some of that stuff, I think.
I hope so.
Another That Ain't Right story. This one is actually one that we did do. It went into our That Ain't Right Hall of Fame. It was in October 24th this one happened. Dialing the wrong number is usually a pretty low stakes event. You know, mm-hmm. usually no harm, sure, no foul, that kind of thing. Someone at a business in Ohio called the cops in October after they checked their company voicemail and discovered two messages that seemed a little suspicious.
Okay.
They were from a 58-year-old guy in Cleveland named Desmond, who dialed the wrong number while trying to hire a hitman. The number he called was one digit off from the number he meant to dial. He called three separate times, left two voicemails, and talked about putting a $5,000 hit on someone.
Oh, my gosh.
And that someone turned out to be his own kid.
What? Oh, no.
Man, this guy's dark.
This guy is messed up.
And a moron. All right? I'm sorry, but he is. Like, first off, like, even if he could dial the right number, look at the paper trail you're leaving here, man. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing here? And obviously, it's a wrong action. Clearly, that is. I would hope that's clear to the audience.
I'm sure.
I think that's wrong.
Yes.
But there's wrong, and then there's just like, what are you doing here? Like,
why do people think that works? And every story you hear of someone trying to actually hire someone to kill someone, it never works.
It's never worked.
It's never
Not once.
Yeah.
It's no different. The same amount of people have gotten away with in police chases.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Nobody ever gets away.
Yeah.
Nobody in human history has ever gotten away from in a police chase.
You have just added another person to your thing. And that's just more things that can go wrong and more information can get out. Ah!
Cops tracked Desmond down, and he admitted to it. He said he and his son recently got into a big argument. He made the calls after having too much to drink. Police charged him with complicity to commit murder, mm-hmm. and his bond was set at $500,000. He's due to be arraigned sometime today.
That day, in October. But
that's a doozy.
Dude, just step back.
Yeah.
Take a few minutes. Yeah. Don't order a hit on your son. Jeez.
I want to know what those people at that business. We got a bunch of voicemails. I should probably check that. What the what? Hey, Dale, you got to hear this. You're never going to believe who left a voicemail.
Can you imagine? That spiced up the day a little bit there. You're thinking, whoa, what's going on here? Yeah.
A little more interesting day at work that day. We will take a break. We need a palate cleanser. We'll come back. We'll get into some good stories of the day coming up on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Hang on a second. There we go.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
As we dive into our final segment before Christmas, got to get that last bit of Christmas music in while we can. We are probably going to play the bumpers next week a little bit.
Sure.
We're only going to be around a couple of days because next week, keep in mind to our audience out there, dedicated listeners, wonderful, best listeners in radio.
Correct.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, those are the days we will be on the air live and direct next week.
Mm-hmm.
Next Monday and Friday, we will have off.
That's correct.
Which is part of the reason we will have Playmakers coming up in about 10 minutes or so, mm-hmm. about 10, 15 minutes.
Yep.
Join Seth and I for that. We want to take your calls, 424-2600. Call up with your sports thoughts and feelings. Get ready for Playmakers coming up in about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We also, of course, have our 30 Hours of Christmas coming up this December 23rd into the 24th.
Yes, correct.
The 24th.
4th to the 25th, yes. We knew what you meant, yes.
And we've been doing this for a long time, mm-hmm. and we enjoy what we do. But we, you know, want to do something a little bit, let it evolve a little bit, let mm-hmm. it grow a little. And Chuck Gennaro, our GM and our head engineer, did a really good job working on this and making this happen. I know you helped a bit with that, mm-hmm. and other people have around here. And shout out to everybody that worked on this. And a big shout out to our sponsors.
Yes.
We got sponsors for our 30 Hours of Christmas.
We do.
Big thank you to Culver's of Wisconsin Rapids, DoorWorks. To Paper City Savings, State Farm, Rosemary Pitsley, Edward Jones, Sharon Zeman, and Feltz Family Farm and Dairy Store. Big thank you to all of them. A Merry Christmas to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for helping us celebrate Christmas with our listeners.
Yes, indeed.
Seth, let's go through our 30 Hours of Christmas for the audience.
All right. This is going to start at noon tomorrow. Noon tomorrow. Yes. It's Christmas Eve already, and I'm freaking out already. I don't have everything done yet.
Yeah, me too. I hear you.
So on noon, it's going to kick off the right way with the Sunshine Polka Show, two-hour show. Tim put together a two-hour show, special Christmas show for everybody. It's going to be great. It starts right on time, right when it's supposed to, at noon, goes to 2 o'clock there. And then after that, we're going to have several old-time radio shows, some classic stuff there, including some Fibber McGee and Molly. We got some Jack Benny. We're going to have some Bing Crosby and some of his Christmas stuff mixed in with some classic Christmas music. That's going to be going on throughout most of the afternoon. At 9 o'clock on Christmas Eve, 'twas the night before Christmas,
of course,
a traditional one there.
Mm-hmm.
At 10 o'clock, another classic radio drama, A Christmas Carol. If those of you who know radio history, for about 8 years in a row, they did A Christmas Carol with Lionel Barrymore, the great Lionel Barrymore, as Scrooge. It became kind of a signature role for him.
Wow.
And they did it many years in a row with him playing Scrooge because he did a very good job. And then a very special at 11, we've got Handel's Messiah that goes through midnight as well with a special introduction from the one and only Carl Hilke.
Yeah, tradition around here that mm-hmm. I won't be leaving anytime soon. I'm so thankful we still play that.
And then throughout the early morning hours of Christmas, we've got more music going on. We've got some more old-time radio. Then at 6 a.m. sharp, we've got the Sunshine Polka Show again.
Yeah.
That same show, rebroadcast of 2 hours of great Christmas music. I can't think of a better way to open your gifts than listening to the Sunshine Polka Show.
Agreed.
Later on, we've got more music. We've got more Jack Benny, Fibber McGee. We've got Kate Smith. We've got Benny Goodman. We've got Jackie Gleason. I mean, this is some great stuff.
That's a nice lineup.
At noon, we've got A Christmas Carol once again. Then some more Bing Crosby. I got to mention one quick thing here. At 2 p.m., we've got a special classic CBS episode with Fred Allen and Jack Benny.
Mm.
If you know anything about the quote-unquote feud between Fred Allen and Jack Benny, was very fake. They were very good friends in real life.
Yes.
But they did a great job of making fun of each other. So you want to check that one out as well.
That's an interesting story, too, behind the scenes. If you don't know about it, I encourage people to look into it.
Yes, it is. It's a great story. Maybe sometime we'll get into that.
I think a director's cut episode.
Very good. Very good. At 3 o'clock, this is kind of fun. They've got an old Red Ryder, an old Western show that they're mm-hmm. going to be doing. Some more Christmas music. And then for the first time here at 4 o'clock, we've got Cinnamon Bear, which is a classic radio Christmas, kind of a kids thing, but it's a great tradition with a lot of radio stations.
Yeah.
Not only some of our new friends over in Richland Center, they've done it for many, many years.
Yeah.
So we kind of took a page from their book and did that as well. And then at 6 o'clock, till 8 o'clock, Seth Face of the Music, special Christmas edition of that. I've got some fun, a lot of fun music. And of course, it's Seth Face of the Music. So it's not going to be the standard Christmas music. Of course not. It's going to be all kinds of fun stuff.
Between Tim's work with the Polka Show and your work with Seth Face's Music, I love our weekend lineups, like the different music that people can hear.
Absolutely.
Only hear at WFHO.
They can only hear it right here. And then at 8 o'clock, we've got a special director's cut.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a holiday episode. It is a holiday episode. Really what it is deleted scenes from the morning show.
Basically.
Because it'll be Melissa, Seth, and I getting together and hanging out. We're going to talk about we are going to start off with our top five holidays. And then we'll get into some strange, weirder holiday movies that maybe not, you forgot about or maybe you didn't even know of.
Of course.
And I also wanted to touch on celebrity Christmas albums you might have forgotten about.
I can't wait for that one.
That's going to be fun, too.
That's going to be fun.
We're going to have a fun Christmas hour, and it's going to be great stuff to have in the background or maybe just kind of keep you company. You know, we understand that the weather's bad. Not everybody's going to be able to travel that can.
Exactly.
I encourage people to use make full use of Zoom and Skype and those things if you can. Check in on your loved ones. If you didn't have plans with them, even check in on them.
Absolutely.
And we'll be here for you. WFHR going to be broadcasting live and directly right for you with all this great stuff.
Settle down by the glow of your radio. It'll keep you warm.
A big thank you again to everybody that worked on this behind the scenes and all of our friends at our sister stations out there as well. And, of course, Chuck Gennaro and the great work he does. And a big thank you to Feltz's Family Farm and Dairy Store, to Edward Jones, Sharon Zeman, to State Farm, Rosemary Pitsley, to Paper City Savings, to Doorworks, and to Culver's of Wisconsin Rapids. Big shout out and thank you to all of them. So we'll get to some good stories of the day.
All right.
This is got a bit of a some older ones or in the last 2 months that have come out.
Okay.
That weren't able to get to right away. Like this one went back in Thanksgiving. Remember the Arizona grandma who accidentally texted a Thanksgiving invite to a random high school kid in 2016?
Yes.
They just had dinner together for the 7th year in a row.
Oh.
They're also business partners now.
Huh?
They're involved with a probiotic drinking water brand called Black MP, and they both are like kind of, you know, put in equally on this. And
well,
stuff.
How about that?
That's pretty cool.
That's interesting.
A catering company in New York served Thanksgiving dinner to random passengers on a subway train in Brooklyn. I saw the video of that one. I remember
that's
that.
Cool.
That was a pretty good one.
Yes.
An NYPD cop spent Thanksgiving with a 59-year-old woman he gave a kidney to in 2018.
Oh, cool.
It was anonymous, but they bonded through letters over the years.
Oh, that's a wonderful story. Nice.
Man, that's good. I don't even know what I would say if I was either person.
I know.
Either person in that scenario, I don't know what I would say other than I'd want to like hug the person.
Well, you have a connection, you know, even without knowing who the other person is. You have this connection. Literally, a part of one person is in another person. So.
And when this happened, we did not get a chance to talk about it because I believe it happened on Thanksgiving weekend and we had the day off and all that. But
yes.
People called it Thanksgiving Miracle, the 28-year-old kid who fell off the Carnival cruise ship in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yes.
And he wasn't reported missing until noon the next day. But the Coast Guard, who are amazing.
Oh, yes.
We do not give enough credit to our Coast Guard. The Coast Guard did a huge search and rescue mission and found him. He'd been treading water for 15 hours and had hypothermia. But he's actually okay. And I just saw an interview with him like a week ago or whatever.
Wow.
And he's doing really good.
Awesome.
He's actually going on another cruise.
Get back on the horse.
I guess. I don't know if that would be me.
You'd be kind of a little gun shy on that.
I feel like because I've never been on a cruise and I've never been in any situation like that,
right.
I don't really have a leg to stand on and know what I'm talking about. But just if you ask me on the cuff, I don't know.
I don't know if I'm going to do that again.
A cruise doesn't seem that entertaining to me to begin with.
Nah,
so I don't know.
I understand.
And, you know, we got so many local, great, amazing people in our area here that do a lot of amazing things. Many of them, if not all of them, join us on Morning Magazine all the time. They join us on the morning show here. There literally is too many people to mention. So I do want to thank and wish a very, very, very Merry Christmas to everyone who has joined us this past year on Morning Magazine, has hung out with us, every guest that's come on the morning show. all these wonderful musicians we had on FRM Fridays, Connie and the gang at FRM. Mm-hmm. So many people help us put this show on and entertain you guys. And let me tell you, somebody used to do it by himself, appreciative to a level that I don't even know how to word.
Yeah.
And it's not just me. Our audience is too. Mm-hmm. I literally hear almost every day from somebody telling me how much they're enjoying the show. We just had a call yesterday of a new listener. Mm-hmm. It's new, it's old, and it can't get done without this whole collective group. It takes the audience out there listening. It takes all those people I just mentioned coming in here. So many people putting so much work in to make this happen, just to try and entertain you, give you a positive, fun note to the day.
You know, I don't think it matters whose name is over the station. Heart of Wisconsin Media, C. Hafer, Civic Media. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. This is a community station. No matter who owns it, we belong to you guys out there.
Well said. Well said. We appreciate you guys so much. We wish you all a merry, merry Christmas. Have a great one. Be good to each other.
Please.
Treat each other good. And please watch listen to our 30 Hours of Christmas.
Yes. Stay warm, too.
Stay warm. I was going to say, listen to our 30 Hours of Christmas and stay warm.
Yes, please, there you go. Warm, yes. Don't go anywhere.
Enjoy each other. Have a great Christmas, everyone. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to you with the morning show on Tuesday.
Yep.
Next Tuesday, we'll beat you back here. And stick around for Playmakers coming up right here at WFHR.